All right. Well, here we are on Sunday, April the 5th. This is Palm Sunday. This Sunday we times are reflecting back on Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, his triumphal entry as the people of the city came out and welcomed him in mass and acknowledged that they are seeing Jesus as the potential savior that they're looking for, not a savior from sin, but a savior from political oppression. But the heart that we want as true followers of Jesus today is a heart that welcomes Christ. And I hope that as we are here and I speak to you, our church who's scattered around this city because of this COVID-19 affliction and disease and sickness, and you find yourselves in your houses watching this video today, I hope and pray that you sense the power and presence of Jesus Christ and that he ministers to your heart. In this passage of scripture that we're going to be looking at today in John chapter 15, we're going to be just looking at verses 26 and 27. And as we're looking at these verses, we want to see the witness of the Holy Spirit as Jesus promises the Holy Spirit to his disciples. As his disciples are being instructed by him, Jesus is telling them, my people are going to experience trying times. And right now, you and I, as our country is going through this, our world is going through this struggle, we are experiencing trying times. What are we to do during this time? What is our focus supposed to be as followers of Jesus? What should captivate our hearts? Should it be the protection of our earthly existence? And I do think that there are reasonable things for us to consider as it comes to protecting ourselves and protecting those people around us. But I think we need to be careful about being too fixated on protecting our comforts and what we've grown accustomed to in our world, and our hearts need to be asking God to help us to be the people he wants us to be in this world. And in that, we're asking ourselves the question repeatedly in a variety of different contexts. What does loving our neighbor look like? What does that look like? How do we love our neighbor? How do we love our brothers and sisters in Christ? And then how do we love our neighbors that are around us that don't know Jesus? We should be concerned about that. We should be asking God to help us love them well. And I'm hoping that through this passage of scripture today, we'll see what God has provided for us in order for us to do that well, how to love our neighbors in a good way, in a godly way, and how to make the most of every opportunity to share our hope in Christ. I believe that God, in his mercy and kindness, has equipped us for this task. And we need to be able to look to him and trust him that he is going to be faithful to us as his people on his earth to do this work. So these verses that we're looking at today, it says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." So in this passage of scripture, in verse 26, we see that the Spirit of truth will come as a witness for Jesus. Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit is going to come, and calls him the Spirit of truth, and he's going to come as a witness for Jesus. So at the very beginning of that, verse 26, it says, "But when the Helper comes..." As we're reading verses 26 and 27, we sense a change of focus in the context of this passage. Because what Jesus has been talking about is the hatred and the persecution that his disciples experienced because of his presence with them. Jesus then, as we're looking at, and we look specifically then at verses 18 through 25, Jesus is speaking and explaining to his disciples that the persecution and hatred they receive is the result of his association with them. So they are being persecuted and they are hated because they are associated with Jesus. And then we have verses 26 and 27 come, and then following these verses, these two verses, we come to chapter 16, and again, the first four verses, it returns to this description of opposition and hostility that is directed toward the disciples. And some have said, well, it seems like verses 26 and 27 are just kind of thrown in here willy-nilly, but that is not at all the case. There is a purpose for their inspired presence in this section, and I hope that we can see that in a much more clear way today as we look at this text of Scripture. Jesus, as we consider the greater context of this section, if we go back to chapter 14, we know that Jesus has told his disciples that he's going back to the Father. He is going to go back to the Father. That's what he has come to do. He's come to give his life as a ransom, and he's going to pay the penalty for sin on the cross. He's going to die. He's going to be buried in the tomb, and he's going to be resurrected on that third day. And then 40 years after that, he is going to ascend, and he will be going to the Father. So when he is telling his disciples, you're being persecuted, you're being hated because of me, then what's going to happen when Jesus goes back to the Father? If Jesus is no longer with him, will the persecution and will the hatred stop? I think that would be a reasonable question at this point. If he's going back, what's going to happen to all the hatred and persecution? Well, the answer to that question, is it going to stop? No, it is not going to stop. But why? Why won't it stop? If the reason that his disciples are being persecuted and hated is because Jesus is with them and he goes back to heaven, why wouldn't it stop? Although Jesus is returning to the Father, the Holy Spirit will be present in the place of the Son. The Holy Spirit joins with followers of Jesus to supernaturally communicate the way, the truth, and the life of Jesus to his people on this earth. In verse 26, as we look at this, he says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." Jesus speaks again of the Holy Spirit. And he says he will be coming to them. The Spirit of God, he says, is going to be coming to you. And Jesus uses the description helper to refer to the Holy Spirit. The word helper in the ESV's translation is a translation of the Greek word parakletos. And parakletos is describes someone who comes alongside another as a helper or as an assistant. Sometimes this word parakletos is translated counselor. Sometimes it's translated advocate, or in some places even mediator. One who comes alongside to offer help and assistance. So Jesus is indicating that as he calls the Holy Spirit the helper, the Holy Spirit comes alongside those trusting in Jesus to provide supernatural help and assistance to us. And I want to emphasize that idea, supernatural help and assistance. And he comes to aid us in powerful ways that are guided by God. And as we're focused on Jesus Christ, we're focused on following him, he comes alongside us to help us in that which he has called us to do, which is to walk in his truth, to walk in his ways, to make known his life. As we're going through life and as we experience persecution, as we experience hatred, as we experience affliction and opposition, we have the power and presence of the Holy Spirit who encourages our hearts and helps us to endure those types of suffering well. The Spirit of God comes alongside us even now. He's helping us. He is our assistant in this time. And the help and the assistance is also going to go beyond just helping us endure this affliction. He is going to help us be witnesses of the gospel, the hope and truth of the gospel. The Holy Spirit comes onto this earth. As Jesus is in heaven, the Spirit of God comes and he empowers us. He protects us, he helps us, he associates with us, but he equips us to be faithful witnesses on the earth of the gospel hope that we have in Christ. So it is the Spirit of God who helps us to recognize the importance of making known this message that we have been made right with Almighty God through the work of Jesus Christ. The work that Christ did on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, the Spirit of God helps us to realize how important that is, and that we have been forgiven and we have been cleansed by the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross. And we are now at peace with a holy and righteous God. And we will forever live in His presence, engaged in this incredible blessing of a relationship and fellowship with our Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit throughout eternity. How fortunate we are to have the reality that the Spirit of God brings the reality of those truths to our hearts, to our minds, and to our lips so that we can declare our hope in Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes to empower not just the disciples and the apostles, but He comes to empower all of us as followers of Jesus. He says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father." So when Jesus returns to His Father in heaven, the Holy Spirit is sent, and He is sent specifically in His new covenant mission. We go back to Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 36, verses 25 and following. The prophet Ezekiel recording the words of the Lord to His people, and it says, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. And from the idols, and from your idols, I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone, and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and to be careful to obey my rules." Here's the promise that God gave in the Old Testament of this new covenant grace that is to come as a result of the work that Jesus Christ does. And the Spirit of God is a central key player in this for us as followers of Jesus now. He promises that the Spirit of God is going to come, and through this blessing of new covenant grace, we're going to be clean. We're going to be clean from our uncleanness. He's going to purge us from our idolatry, the things that we have put up before God. He's going to remove those things so that we are no longer loyal to those things as first priorities. Our first priority is God, and these things fall away from us. He's going to give us, by the power and presence of His Spirit, a new heart. A heart of flesh, not one that's hard and insensitive, one that is open and tender to the promptings of God. This is what God does by His Spirit. He puts His Spirit within us, and He causes us to walk in His statutes and to be careful to obey His rules. What precious truth this is. We are not on our own. We have been given the presence and power of the Spirit of God to help us and assist us. He illuminates truth from the pages of Scripture, promises that we can hold on to, and He equips us and enables us to see these things and to ask God for the grace to walk in them faithfully. The glorious plan of gospel grace now is going to be flowing out to the nations. Jesus is promising that to His disciples. The Spirit of God is going to come. The truth of His witness is going to be there, and the gospel is going to be going forward, going out to the nations. The Holy Spirit is sent out to give life and power to all those Jesus purchases by His blood. He gives us life. We're regenerated. We're given life by the Spirit of God, and we're empowered by that same Spirit to go and do the things that God has called us to do, to walk in His truth, to be those people. And He calls this helper the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father. He will bear witness about me. So again, Jesus refers, and I say again because He has referred to Him as the Spirit of Truth in the previous chapters, He refers to Him as the Spirit of Truth. There is a substantive connection between Jesus and the Holy Spirit regarding truth. Jesus comes to the earth as the very embodiment of truth. We go back to chapter 1, verse 14. It says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." And then chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to me except through the Father." There is no one who can get to there, to the Father, except through Christ. But we see Jesus is the full embodiment of truth. And Jesus refers to the Spirit as the Spirit of truth. So the Holy Spirit comes from the Father to give life to the people of God and to make the truth of Jesus known. We go back to chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. He says, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." The Spirit of God dwells with us as the people of God, and He dwells in us as the people of God. The Spirit of truth is within us. He is among us as His people. Jesus will be with the Father, and the Spirit of truth will make the power and presence of Jesus known to His followers. That is why we will continue to receive the struggles and difficulties, because the Spirit of God is here making the presence of Christ known. Just as Philip was told when he says to Jesus, "Show us the Father, that'll be enough for us." So it can be said of that, Jesus says, "Philip, have I been with you so long? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." The concept of that is there's this unity between who the Father is, who the Son is, and Jesus is making it clear who the Spirit is. There is tri-unity in the Godhead, and there's a connection here. Jesus says, we go back to chapter 14 and we look at verses 18 and 20. He says, "I will not leave you as orphans." And what's the next statement? "I will come to you. Yet in a little while the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." Do you see how that we can see the connection of the Spirit of truth and Jesus being truth? He dwells within us. He makes the power and presence of Christ real within us. So we experience opposition from the world because of Jesus, because the Spirit of God is making the power and presence of Jesus known so clearly. The Spirit's ministry is to bear witness of Jesus. He's the Spirit of truth. His helper is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, and He will bear witness about me. The Holy Spirit gives spiritual life to people, and He shines the light of gospel hope on Jesus. And so we come to the reality of saving faith through what Christ is for us, Savior and Lord, and we realize that by the Spirit of God giving us life and then opening our eyes to see the magnitude of our sinfulness and look to Jesus as our only hope, as a Savior from sin. This is what the Spirit of God does. But it doesn't just end there. The Holy Spirit works to conform those who are saved into the image of Christ. So not only are we brought to life and see our Savior Jesus, now because we have been given this life in Christ and we've been changed and transformed in our hearts and minds to see Him more clearly, because our eyes are spiritually enlightened to who He is and how precious He is, our lives continue to be changed. Listen to what the promise is. We see that the Holy Spirit works to conform those who are saved into the image of Christ. We go to the teaching of the Apostle Paul as he writes to the church at Corinth. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, it says, "And now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You see, as we are been brought to life by the Spirit of God, we've been given this ability to see Jesus as our Savior. Not only is He our Savior and Lord, the Spirit of God gives us the strength and the ability to stay fixated on Jesus Christ. And as we focus our attention on who He is as the Lord of truth, our lives are being changed. We're being conformed more and more to His image. The Spirit of God accomplishes that. He is witnessing to our heart the relevance and significance of Jesus Christ, and we are being changed into the likeness of Christ as His followers. Now we see why the persecution and hatred of followers of Jesus will continue. Even though Jesus is at the right hand of the Father in heaven, even though He's no longer on the earth, and He said, you're going to be persecuted, they're persecuting you because of me. And if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. How will this continue? Because the presence of the Spirit of God continues to make the presence of Christ known on this earth. All those experiencing salvation by gospel grace are granted life in Christ by the Spirit, and they're being transformed into the likeness of Christ by that same Spirit. This means that the Spirit of truth bears witness to us and through us as followers of Jesus. We are being confirmed in heart who Jesus is, and we're making Jesus known to those who are around us. This is what the power and the presence of the Spirit of God does in our hearts by new covenant grace. We are being changed. We're being transformed. We've been given life, and we've been given a new direction, and we have our eyes fixed on Jesus as our Savior and Lord, the giver of truth, and we're being conformed into that likeness all the time by the power of the Spirit of God as He guides us into truth for His namesake. Praise be to God for the gift of His Spirit that works in us. We're not on our own. We're not left to our own devices as we're on this earth right now in this very place. What we're going through, what we're experiencing, by God's design, by God's intention, we now can rest in the presence of the Spirit of God. I look forward to the time when we can come back together as a church and assemble in the name of Jesus, because that's what the church is. It's an assembly in the name of Jesus. But we're not just on our own, folks. Even though we are scattered, we have the presence and power of the Spirit, who is our comforter. He is our helper. He is our assistant in our time of need. We're supernaturally given His presence. We're not alone. So we come then to verse 27. And Jesus, having described the witness of the Spirit of God that comes to this earth, now we see in verse 27, the disciples will be witnesses for Jesus. And He says, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. The instruction of this verse is specifically addressed to the 11 disciples, but it has definite application to all the followers of Jesus in the new covenant. It's not just for the disciples who became the apostles. It is for all of us. These truths are real for us. When He says, you have been with me from the beginning, how does that relate to me? I wasn't with Jesus from the beginning. We are exposed to His life and the truths of His teaching that are passed on to us by the Holy Spirit-inspired word of truth. We have gospel accounts. We have the application of these truths by the apostles as they wrote to churches, and we are reaping the benefit. We have been with Jesus. He has helped us to understand His heart and who He is. Because the Spirit of truth is sent by Jesus from the Father to do His work, the Spirit's work, the Spirit of truth empowers all believers to do their work. He comes, His work is to help us recognize His power is available to us and for us to do the work that God has called us to do. And may I say to you that the work that a Christian is responsible to do is much more than just endure hardship, suffering, hatred, and persecution. He empowers us to go through those things. He equips us to go through suffering, difficulties, opposition, hatred, persecution. We go through those things well because of the Holy Spirit, but that's not the only reason. that's not the only benefit of having the Spirit of God. A significant aspect of the work of Christians is to bear witness of Jesus in the world. That is what we are here to do. We're to make known the gospel grace of Christ to people around us. And we are being empowered to share the way of Jesus, the truth of Jesus, and the life of Jesus. Right now, we're living in a world that is gripped by fear. People are terrified they could possibly die of this disease, this coronavirus. And they're concerned about their safety. They're concerned about the safety of their loved ones. They're in fear. We have gospel hope that is found in Jesus, and that needs to be shared with people. The witness that God has given us by His grace through the Spirit is something that has come to us, but it needs to come through us, and we need to share that with the people around us. Jesus, just before He ascends into glory, we have referenced this passage, and many of you know this by heart, Matthew chapter 18. As Jesus, we call it the Great Commission that He gives to His people. And in Matthew 18, or 28, verses 18 and 20, Jesus says to His disciples just before He goes, He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." See, we have the authority of Christ to go, and we have the presence of Christ to go because the Spirit of God is within us. This is what Jesus told His disciples as He was ascending. He said He wanted them to go and wait. And He says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, and He tells His disciples, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." We are empowered by the Spirit of God to be witnesses. Folks, there is no such thing as a silent Christian. A silent Christian does not exist. If we are Christians, we are people who've been given life, we've been given liberty, and we have been given power to share our hope in Jesus Christ. And we need to be diligent about that in the midst of a suffering, scared, terrified people. This coronavirus is horrible. This coronavirus can be devastating, but it is nothing compared to the devastation that comes to people who reject Almighty God and turn from Him and scorn Him. That is what people should fear above everything else. And we have the opportunity to represent the hope and the assurance that there is life and deliverance from sin in Christ. And I want to share with you a passage that Paul shared with the church at Thessalonica to reinforce this. There's no such thing as a silent Christian. People that just sit quietly and just live their life and just thankful for the salvation, but they don't communicate that with others. It's just, that doesn't work. It's not what we're here to do. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, as Paul writes this church at Thessalonica, he says to them in verse 4, "For we know, brothers loved by God, that He has chosen you. Because our gospel came to you, not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction." And I don't believe that what Paul is describing there is what he witnessed happening to Thessalonians. He's saying, when we came, we experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. And with full conviction, we rest in that. And we realize that God is at work on His earth to give us these opportunities to share His hope. But then he does go on and he says to them, "You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia, your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. How incredible is that? The Spirit of God empowers them to endure hardship of following Jesus. He gives them that grace, but he also empowers their witness. They are verbally sharing the hope they have in Christ, and it's going out, making this witness known. It encourages the hearts of brothers and sisters in Christ, but it is also a challenge to people on this earth who do not have hope, who are outside of Christ and hopeless in that condition. That word goes forth from God's people. We are not, folks, to trust in our intellect and our persuasive powers. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. Some people say, well, I just don't speak well. I don't communicate well. I'm more of a silent. We don't need to trust in the power of our persuasion. And if you are gifted in communicating and you're one who's just given to be able to understand and articulate things in a powerful way, you need to recognize your ability to be used of God is not by your own intellect and your persuasiveness. It is by the presence of the Spirit of God. Now, let me go to the other side of that issue and say, we are not to cower being frightened by our weaknesses. Why? Because we have the power and presence of the Spirit of God. Our hearts should be told, we should be telling our hearts consistently, I have the strength of the Spirit. God, humble me from my pride and my arrogance. God, equip me in all my weaknesses and my fears and my insecurities. Come and help me. We should be crying out to God to do this, because this is what he's promised to do. Folks, we will never serve the Lord by fixating on ourselves. We just won't. We need to be transfixed by to Jesus, and we need to be looking at others. We need to be Christ-centered people, and we need to be others-oriented people. We need to pray that the Spirit of God will come and give us power and boldness to witness. I love this testimony of the church as recorded in Acts chapter 4. Peter and John had gone and were going about, and they were in the temple courts, and there was a lame beggar sitting in the courts begging for alms, and John and Peter are there, and they said, silver and gold we don't have, but what we have in the name of Jesus, pick up your mat, walk. And he was healed. And the ruling authorities, the religious Jewish authorities, were absolutely offended by this activity, and so they arrested Peter and John. They took them and then they interrogated them, and they told them, what are you doing? You got to stop speaking in this name of Jesus. You can't be doing this kind of stuff. Jesus, they said, hey, we're responsible before God to make known. We're not going to keep our mouths shut. We're going to declare the glory of Christ. We're going to keep doing this. And they threatened them. They said, if you don't stop, we will imprison you, we'll beat you, we'll treat you horribly. And as they were released from that interrogation, after their arrest, they were released from that, and they go back to the church. And in Acts chapter 4, verses 29 and following, we see here a record of the church as it corporately prayed, receiving back their brothers, receiving back Peter and John, who had been arrested after healing this crippled man. And this is what they prayed together as a church. And now, Lord, look upon their threats, and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they prayed, the place which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. What an incredible situation. Folks, we should be crying out to God, grant us the ability to be powerful witnesses for you. We have hope in you. We have life in you. We have something this world desperately needs. Give us, God, that power to make that testimony known. The Apostle Paul, talking to the church at Corinth, was a church that struggled with their image, their one-upmanship, their comparative condemnation that characterized them as people. And he tells these people to humbly seek the power of the Spirit of God. Listen to what Paul says to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. He says, "And when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but the power of God." Paul says it's about the power of the Spirit of God to make the witness of Christ known in the hearts of people. And you and I need to be convinced of that very thing. It's not about what we bring to the table. It's what God has given us by His Spirit. We need to ask God for the boldness to make much of Jesus, to speak the hope that we have in Jesus to others. Jesus assures us that His followers are empowered by the Spirit to be faithful witnesses in the most difficult of circumstances. We, right now, you and I can be faithful witnesses of Jesus in these times of COVID-19. As people are terrified by the coronavirus, we have an opportunity to make much of our hope in Jesus Christ. Let's pray that God will do this. Let's look for opportunities. So here's a couple questions for you to consider in closing. In what ways do you see the Holy Spirit coming alongside you and others as a supernatural helper or a power source? How do you see Him working? Are you praying? Are you talking to Him? Are you asking Him for strength? Are you looking for opportunities to share that? We need to affirm that. And as we see those things happening, my heart has been very encouraged to interact with brothers and sisters in Christ through phone conversations, to interact with my wife personally as she's had opportunities to share Jesus Christ, the opportunities we've had to serve people in our neighborhood as we've looked around and seen the needs of people. It's just awesome to know that God is giving opportunities for us to connect. We need to make much of those things. We need to affirm God's activity and know that we are on His earth for His reasons, to bear witness of His grace in our lives. And are you prayerfully seeking the presence and power of the Holy Spirit to burden you and to use you as a witness of gospel truth to the lost and the needy world? This is why we're here. We're to go and we're to speak much of Jesus. We're to be making much of Him. We're not just supposed to survive this corona crisis. We're not just supposed to get past it somehow. We're supposed to make the most of every opportunity. And folks, eventually this crisis will be gone. Life will settle down into something probably very different, but it will move forward. We are still responsible to be faithful witnesses of Christ. But it's not something that we carry as something we've got to conjure up by our own strength. We are gifted the Spirit of God to accomplish these things. And we should be praying consistently as brothers and sisters in Christ. God, equip us. Help us. Help us to go forward in your grace. We should not cower back in fear. We should not back away from this responsibility. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power and of love and of self-control. So we need to go out and make much of Jesus Christ. And I pray that we will be faithful witnesses because we have received the faithful witness of the Spirit. May God bless us in that. Lord, we pray your blessing on our lives. We pray your blessing on your church, scattered through the city, purposely, intentionally by your design. God, may we look around us and may we make much of every opportunity to share our hope in Christ, however that truth might come out from us. Lord, help that to be reflected in our countenances. Help it, God, to be communicated in our words. Lord, come and empower us as your people. Thank you. Thank you so much for the gift of your Spirit to give us life, to give us hope, to give us truth. And now, Lord, come and work to not only make that a reality in us, but through us, to the people in need around us, to the glory of your name in Jesus. Amen. God bless you, church. Be strong. Be faithful. We are a blessed people.